You all know what one of the most important things of our life is? It's faith. Why is that the most important thing? All these things in life, why is faith so important? Because the scripture says without it, it's impossible to please God. There is no pleasing God if you're not walking by faith. Amen. Why is that? Because God is supernatural. He's commanding you. He's telling you, do this, do that. And if you're not in faith, you think you have to do that thing in your own strength. And that's not how you do things. You're doing them. See, he's telling you to do things not based on your eyesight, what you see. He's telling you to do things in him. Amen. So if you're not by faith, he's telling you to do something. It's going to look like you can't do it. I remember so many things the Lord told me to do, and it just seemed crazy to me. Lord, that don't even matter. Sold a car. Give my car away. Praise God. Sold the car. Give my car. Lord, I was going to take that money and go to Florida, Lord. You know the plans I have for that money. I cleaned the car all up, and you know I wanted to get that money and go to Florida. No, give the car away. Give the car away. The only way you're going to do that is by faith. You got to believe. Amen. That was the best decision I ever could have made. But it wasn't in my strength. It was in his strength. So many doors opened when I gave that car away. It was just amazing. So you have to remember, saints, you're not walking by yourself. You are not alone. Amen. He's walking with you. Amen. Ordering your footsteps. Amen. Here's a high-end truth. We talked about this last week, that the scripture says when we meet Jesus and we receive him in our heart and we give him our life, we give him our heart, we were then given a measure of faith. Amen. Everybody has the measure of faith. See, God is just and he's fair. He's not going to give you more than he give me and vice versa. Everybody, when they met Jesus and said, Lord, I belong to you. I'm tired of toiling. I'm tired of taking two steps forward and one step back. Have my life. I present my body to you, a living sacrifice. Have your way in your servant, Lord. When we did that, he gave us a measure of faith. The measure. Amen. Everybody got the measure. Amen. But here's the thing. It's degrees of faith. Even though you got the measure, and the measure was believing who Jesus was and allowing him in your life. That takes faith. Many just don't want to do that. No, I'm not. Nope. No such thing. Not doing it. So that takes a measure of faith. Amen. But once you got that measure, now you want to increase your faith. Because it's such thing as little faith, and then it's such thing as great faith, because we saw it in the scriptures, right? When the disciples went to that man, had that demon in him, and they couldn't cast him out, amen? And Jesus came right behind him and cast the demon out, and they wanted to know, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we, Lord, why couldn't we cast that demon out? And Jesus told them, oh, ye of little faith. We've all dealt the measure. Why did he say they had little faith? Amen. And then he told them why. He said, this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. That's what he told them. You can only get this one out by prayer and fasting. Now, here's the question again. Is it the prayer and fasting that grabs the demon out? Is that what does it? Because Jesus said, this one will only come out by prayer and fasting. Is that what gets the demon out? Amen. Amen. That's not it. What gets the demon, what the prayer and fasting does is breaks that unbelief on you. Huh? When you start praying and fasting, your spirit begins to. Amen. And you believe everything. You believe all of this. Amen. But the flesh, it's not subject to God. It doesn't believe any of this. You in your flesh, you don't. The scripture says the carnal mind is not subject to God, neither can be. You say, no, everything is subject to God. No, it's not. Your flesh don't want to have anything to do with God. That's why you're in a war every day. That's what the scriptures say. Every day you war. Your flesh telling you to do one thing, and your spirit is trying to lead you. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. So he said, prayer and fasting, that's going to break the unbelief, saints. Prayer and fasting removes little faith. That's what it does. And turns it into great faith. Amen. I remember this, saints. I was on a fast, right? And I had got a report that this guy, one of our aldermen at City Hall, had a heart attack or a mild heart attack. He was in the hospital, but it wasn't looking good. I shouldn't say mild because it really wasn't looking good. That's what I had heard. And I'm fasting, right? And when I heard that, all I could think about is, now this man took his grandbabies because the daughter wasn't doing what she's supposed to do. And he went and took them grandbabies and was training them, because we don't raise kids, we train them. You raise cattle, you train kids. He was training those kids. I was going home, right? I spent the round in the middle of the street as soon as I heard that, went to the man's house. There's his wife in disarray because her husband is in the hospital with all these with these three kids, and just began to pray for him. I said, I need all y'all to pray with me. And that man came home. See, that's what fasting do. Now, I guarantee if I was eating that day, I might have prayed for him. I'm not going to say I wouldn't have, but I would have went on to lunch and ate and prayed for him maybe before I had my meal. Who knows? But fasting breaks the bonds of wickedness. It breaks it. It breaks it off of you. I spent the round in the middle of the street and went to that man's house. Amen. That's what the fasting does. That's how you can grab that demon out, because you're going to do some things. You're not going to do your normal thing. Huh? Prayer and fasting removes little faith, saints. It turns it into great faith. You all remember the centurion? He told Jesus not to even come to his house. He said, you don't have to come to my house. You know, I'm a ruler too. I tell men, go here, they go, and I tell them to come, and they come. He said, but my servant is at home sick. If you just speak the word, Jesus, it'll heal him. And Jesus said, what? The scriptures say he marveled at that. He said, I ain't never even seen this kind of faith, not even in Israel. He said, I never seen this. Amen. And the man was healed. The servant was healed. Huh? That man understood absolute authority. See, Jesus has absolute authority. And he believed the word of God. Amen. See, in order to believe this word, it has to be mingled with faith. Amen. It's going to do what it says it's going to do because God said it. He said, my word is going out and it will not return to me void. It's going to work. Whatever I say it's going to do, that's what it's going to do. But your faith is what activates it. Amen. So that's why we're talking about faith as being one of the most important things of our life. It's faith. Godly faith. Because people have faith, they just believe in on anything. But I mean this godly faith that believes this word. Amen. I always would think, why wouldn't you want to live like that anyway? Why wouldn't you want to live a life where whatever, you know, you come up with based on this word can happen for you? Why would you want to just live a chance life? Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. I don't want to live like that. I want to know that I know I'm standing on this scripture. You can't be deceived if you're on the scripture. If you're not on the scripture, you could be deceived. Easily. The world is deceived right now. Look how homosexuality is running rampant. That's deception. Huh? And we were deceived. Obama kicked it off. He did. Talking about I affirm same-sex marriage. What? How you gonna, based on what? I was in the scripture. God destroyed two cities for that. How you gonna say, I affirm it, and then everything, now they can get married, all of that. Amen. But see, the president said it. So if you went to names and titles, you gotta go with that. The president made it a law. But the scripture said, that's an abomination. That's what the script, I'm in the book. Huh? I'm following His word. I can't be deceived. I'm not on emotions. They were born like that. Just let them do what they want to do, Pastor. You know, they were. No, everybody was born messed up. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Everybody, all of us. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's why we got to be born again. That's the reason why we got to be. Jesus said, you got to be born again. Nicodemus was like, what are you talking about? You got to be born again. And go back in your mother's womb. He said, no, not that. You got to be born again. We was all born all jacked up. Huh? I know that's the truth. They can be born again too. Amen. If they choose. Who said the flesh was weak today? The flesh is messed up. If you live in your flesh, it'll lead you to anything. Amen. It's weak. That's what Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, I just want y'all to pray for an hour for me. I'm ready to do this thing. I just need y'all to pray. Came back, they were asleep. Talked to him again. Left, came back, sleep. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why you can't let your flesh lead you. Huh? Y'all know. I'm not going to go on that tangent. Saints, believe the word of God, and it's activated by faith. Amen. But God is righteous, and he's just, and he's fair, and he's merciful. And we were made in his image, just like that. Amen. We want to live righteous and fair and merciful and just lives. Amen. And I'm going to show that to you in the scriptures. But in order to accomplish that lifestyle, it takes faith. It's going to take faith. In order to accomplish that just lifestyle. That's why the scripture said the just shall live. Come on, y'all. Work with me a little bit. By faith. Look at your program. Here's the program today. It says the just shall live by faith. Amen. Then I got this other scripture on here, Galatians 3:11, which says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Did you all hear that? The law is not going to make you righteous. But I did everything correct. I could do everything in this Bible. Some people really do believe that. I could just do everything in this word. No, you can't. You think Jesus came here and died for us because we was doing the law was saving us? The law only did one thing. It produced some lawbreakers. That's it. Adam had was one law. Huh? He didn't have a whole zillion. He had one thing. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the only thing he had. Everything else he could do. And he broke that law. Huh? The first Adam. But that second Adam came and fulfilled this law. Amen. That's why our life is hid in him, in God. We couldn't do it. He said, I didn't abolish it. Oh, it's still in effect, but we just can't do it. That's why he is a necessity. We need him. Amen. It's not an option. Oh, I'm going to live outside of Christ. You're going to be all jacked up. Y'all look at some of them lives like that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The scripture says, the just shall live by faith. This one said, by the law, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Amen. That's found in the Galatians. And we all want to be just, saints. We want to be fair. We want to live righteous, and it's all in him. Amen. Our righteousness is not in ourselves. That's self-righteousness. That was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. They wanted to be self-righteous, telling us they was hypocrites, telling everybody, y'all need to do all this, every tittle, every letter of the law. And they couldn't do it because nobody could do it. Amen. Jesus had to come and he fulfilled the law. Oh, I'm a short to you today. We want to live a just and fair life, saints. It's got to be by faith. That's the most important thing you have. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Let me show you this. I'm going to get this in real quick, saints. Romans chapter 1. I just want to spend a little time talking about faith, saints, because it's the most important thing that we have. Romans chapter 1. I got a quiz question for y'all. Y'all want to take a quick quiz, a pop quiz? This ain't no trick question. I'll say I got them quick. Here's the quiz question before we get in this Romans chapter 1. Because faith has a time to it, right? Here's the question. When is faith? Amen. Are y'all sharp today? What church y'all go to? Amen. Oh, hey, praise God. Hey, teaching y'all some stuff. Faith is right now. And it's found in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Stay in Romans. I'm just going to read it to you. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is. When is it? Now. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's right now. Amen. That's why I love walking by faith. It's not yesterday is over, saints. What do we say? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift, right? That's why we call it the present. It's a gift. It's now. Now faith is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God bless you all today. God bless you. Brought the little miracle in the house. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, everybody in Romans chapter 1? Okay, look at verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So here we got Paul was called to be an apostle, saints, by Jesus. And he was his assignment was to preach to the Gentiles. Amen. Because, you know, he was Saul. Saul was killing Christians. But Jesus met him on that road to Damascus and converted him. Amen. And right here, Paul is introducing himself to the Romans as a servant of Jesus Christ. I want you all to catch this right here. In the Greek culture, saints, a servant is referred to as a slave. A slave is involuntarily forced to serve a person. That's in the Greek culture, all right? But Paul says he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul elevates this word by using it in the Hebrew sense. In the Hebrew sense, a servant is one who willingly commits himself to serve a master he loves and respects. Amen. We're servants. Amen. You all remember I told you all this story a couple of weeks. I was talking to a person who did not believe in Christ. He told me that. He told me this whole New Testament is man-made. It's all made up. There is no Jesus Christ. That's what he told me. Amen. But here, ironically, then he told me, and you a slave to Jesus. How is it not a Jesus, but I'm a slave to Jesus? My head did like this. What scripture you on? Because I'm in the book. So I told him the truth, because y'all know all I got is truth, right? Last week I said I got good news and I got, no, sir. I don't have no bad news. The gospel is good news. That's all I got. If you want bad news, you got to go watch CNN or something. If you came here for some bad news, came to the wrong place. I don't have that for you. All I got is good news. Amen. So I told him the truth. I said, look, I'm not a slave. I'm a servant to Jesus. Amen. Because it's a pleasure to serve him. He didn't force me to do it. If I don't want to do it, I don't have to. He gave me a choice. Go back to that fake life you was living, Rudy. You can do that at any moment. Oh, no, Lord. Please don't take this anointing away, Lord. I love to serve you, Lord. Oh, that's how I talk to him. Lord, ain't nothing else in the world I'd rather be doing right now than your will, Lord. If this is your will for me, I'll do it. Tell him that all the time, amen. I'm a servant, amen. I willingly want to serve him because I love him, amen. A servant willingly wants to serve his master. He's not forced to do it. And that's what Paul was letting them know right here, saints. He was letting them know he was a servant of Jesus Christ unto the gospel. That's what it says. Separated unto the gospel. So he was a servant unto God for good news. See, and Jesus Christ is the word of God. He is God. Amen. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. Amen. He is God. Amen. And Paul is letting them know, I'm a servant to him for the good news. He is good news. Jesus is the good news. Amen. Okay, look at verse 2. It says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. So verse 2 is saying, God promised this good news a long time ago by the prophets. That's what that scripture is saying. God promised this good news. And what were all the prophets saying, saints? He's coming. He's coming. All the prophets was prophesying, Christ is coming. That's what they were saying. Amen. Okay, we're going to veer off that. I'm going to prove that one too. Look at Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53 real quick. In the book of Isaiah, we see numerous prophecies, right? But all the Old Testament prophets prophesied of Jesus. But Isaiah probably had the most to say. Amen. Let me give you several of his. Before I read Isaiah 53, I'm just going to give you several. You don't even have to turn to them. Here it is, Isaiah chapter 11. He prophesied Jesus would be a judge in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 4, he shows him as a lawgiver. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 7, he shows him as a liberator. Amen. Long time ago, just like the scripture said, which he had promised afore by his prophets. This is the prophet Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah 53 and 4, which I'm going to read to you today, he shows him as a burden bearer. Amen. Prophesying. Amen. God bless you, Kenyatta. Thank you, Jesus. In Isaiah 53 and 6, which I'm going to read that one, he shows him as a sin bearer. Amen. All these prophets saying, he's coming. He's coming. Coming, coming soon. Amen. I'm telling y'all the same thing today. Isaiah 53 and 12 shows him as an intercessor. Huh? Long time ago, they was prophesying this. 53 and 5 shows Jesus as our only Savior. Amen. He's a necessity. We need him. He's not optional. Amen. We see in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean, saints? God with us. Huh? Shows him being with us. But here's my favorite. Isaiah 9 chapter 6 says we see him as mighty God. They prophesying Jesus. Huh? Isaiah 9 chapter 6. I'm going to read that one for you. Stay in Isaiah 53. Keep your finger on that. But if you want to go to Isaiah 9, chapter 6, this is what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who are they talking about now? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Who? His name should be called who? The Mighty God. Amen. Lord have mercy. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. We hear that. They say that around Christmas time. Even though that holiday, we know it's man-made. It's full of lies. There's no Santa Claus. Tell these little babies right now, in case y'all try to tell them that lie. I ain't got nothing but truth. I'm in the book. Amen. I can't lie. I can't stand before you and lie. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 9 called him out, didn't it? A long time ago, before he even ever got here. Okay, let's look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Isaiah 53 and 1. That's our Jesus, saints. We love you, Lord. And it's a pleasure to serve you. See why it's so pleasurable to serve him? Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53 and 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who, you know what you're saying? Who believes this prophecy? I just read that prophecy. Who believes it? That's why we need faith. Who believes that? And it says, unto whom is the arm of, what's the arm of the Lord, saints? It's Jesus. Amen. Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed to? I could help you with that one right now. Y'all want me? Okay, I'll tell y'all later. I'm gonna show you who the arm of the Lord is revealed to. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Many see Jesus, or they really cannot see the beauty in Jesus. They can't see it. Why? Because it can't be seen with the naked eye, saints. Now I'm going to show you the scripture before say, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed to? You can only see it by faith. That's whom it's revealed to. The ones who are walking by faith, they can see it. Amen. But if you're walking in your flesh, you cannot see it. Amen. You just wander. You on that broad road that may go anywhere. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, the prophet Isaiah foresees the hatred and rejection of him by mankind toward the Messiah. He sees it way back then. Amen. Rejected and abused by the ones he came to save. Doing my head like this again. You're going to reject the one that came to save you. Lord, it's crazy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I told y'all he was a burden bearer. Didn't I tell you all that? Carrying our burdens. Amen. Why do we carry all our burdens on our own, saints of God? Why do we do that? A lack of faith. He said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Huh? I do that. Lord, it looks like I'm in a battle right now, Lord. It looks like they're going to get me. They're coming from every side, but I give it to you because you told me to give it to you, and I leave it with them. Amen. And I never lost a battle in Christ. Oh, that's why I love him so much. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say that one again. I've never lost a battle in Christ. I don't care what it looks like. Amen. There is no losing in him ever. ever. If you lost the battle, you was not in Christ. Huh? Them disciples said, Lord, Lord, we can't get this demon out. And what did he do? He came and cast that demon out. Huh? And then he said, y'all faith was little. That's why y'all lost the battle. I'm trying to get y'all to up that faith. Up that faith game. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, let me show you this one. Verse 5. But he was wounded for who, saints? Our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. By the chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes, what? We are healed. He is our only Savior. He is it. Amen. He said, ain't nothing, ain't no other God beside me, beneath me, over me. He came up and said, I got all the power. Oh, y'all want to ride that train. Amen. There's no losing in him ever. Why? He got all the power. I don't care what it look like, how they look like they going, oh, they got me now. I'm cornered. If you in Christ, you will win that battle. Oh, y'all got to get that in your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Who are you talking about? Us. All of us have gone astray. Amen. Why? Because we was born in sin, shaped in it. We was all messed up. Everybody. Okay. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to what, saints? Doing it our way. We turn to that. We think it looks good. Huh? We got three major enemies. Amen. We got Satan, whom is defeated. He's the done deal. All he can do is make you think or try to tempt you. We have Jesus already had the victory over him. He's out. Then we got the world, right? What he uses to entice you. Look at this. Look at that car. Look at that woman. Look at this. Look at the jewelry. Whatever it is, drugs, whatever. But you know who that main one, that main one we got to fight is the flesh, our own self. See, that's what this scripture is saying. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's a king. You got to get that king off the throne. That's a high rank king. Your flesh, oh, it want to do what it want to do. It ain't trying to listen to you. Amen. It's not y'all haven't teamed up with it and it's friend, have you? Don't team up with your flesh. That's not your friend. Amen. I remember what mine had me doing. Oh, I was doing all kind of stupid stuff. Amen. I had teamed up with it, was working with it. I don't do that anymore. Amen. I'm in Christ now. My life is hid in Christ with God. Amen. The flesh is weak. And if it gets silly on me, you say what? You want to start? You want me to fast you right now? Huh? You must don't want to eat today. Put that stupid thought in my head again. You will not eat. See, I don't know how to talk to y'all flesh like that, do you? I just let it lead you, don't you? You won't eat. See, anything you don't feed will die. Just kill it. You got to kill your flesh. How often, saints? Every day. Tomorrow when you wake up, it's the same thing. It doesn't change. Amen. Oh, I'm going to take you out, flesh. Huh? First thing, this is how you do it early in the morning. Y'all know the formula. I'm just going to give it to you again. When you wake up, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, get it right up and put it in these scriptures. Oh, it don't want to do that. I want to sleep. I'm tired. I want to rest. I don't want to read. I don't want to pray. Just get it up and do it. It's killing it. You want to kill it every day before. When you get out of that bed, boom. First thing you want to do, don't go to the bathroom. Don't flick the TV on to see the temperature. Don't do none of that. Get in the scriptures and get in your prayer. Killing the flesh. It don't want, trust me, it wants to sleep. Let me lay here. Give me 5 more minutes. No, you don't get nothing. You can't listen to it. It's not your friend. You don't get that. You get up. Get up right now. Get on your knees. That's what I do. Get down there. Oh, glory be to God. I'm trying to say, show you so you won't turn to your own way. Amen. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, he laid it on himself, our sin, saints. We love Jesus, saints. He laid down his life, for he died for us. Huh? This place should be packed. Huh? When the word is going forth, everybody and their mama should be up in here. It should be standing room only. He died for, look, saints, he died for you. This place should be jam-packed. Got nothing but all these awesome promises. All he wants you to do is believe him by faith. That's all he wants you to do. And we sitting around just acting like it's not a big thing. It's a major thing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He laid down his life for us. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now think about this now. This is Isaiah way back when, aforetime, prophesying this stuff. Amen. See, the servant don't talk back, saints. He willingly does what the master's will. I want you all to get that. Amen. Jesus was on an assignment. Amen. And he wasn't letting nothing stop him. He was on assignment. He asked the Father, he said, look, Lord, is it any other way that this cup can pass from me? Oh, this assignment was awesome. But then he said these powerful words. Nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done in my life. Oh, that's the key right there. Huh? That's what you got to tell your flesh. Not my will. We're not doing what you want to do. We led by the Spirit. The Spirit is leading us. It's ordering our footsteps. Amen. The flesh is weak. He didn't talk back, saints. It says, yet he opened not his mouth. He willingly did what the master wanted. Him of his own free will was crucified. Amen. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. He could have called them angels down there and it would have been over. But we wouldn't be in this situation we in. Amen. He couldn't talk back. He had to be quiet. Amen. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Amen. Crucified. You know what he was doing, saints? He was fulfilling the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. He gave us a great, great, powerful example. You know Jesus is our example, right? I'm telling you all about flesh, but this is the greatest example. See, anything can come out your mouth. I do good with examples, and the Lord know that. What was the example? Jesus crucified his flesh. That's the example. He didn't do nothing wrong. Amen. He crucified his flesh. The only thing you could do with flesh, saints, come on, is kill it. Crucify it. That's it. He showed us that. That's what he was showing us. I'm gonna show y'all how to do this. You got to kill your flesh. He said, why you call me good? The man talking about good master. He said, why you call me good? Because he was in the flesh. He said, no good thing is in the flesh. Amen. Don't buddy up with that. Amen. Listen to this, saints. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. See, he died for our sins, saints. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. No more sacrificing these lambs and bulls and, you know, for sin offerings. He was the final offering. Amen. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth. Now, how in the world can you make your grave with the wicked and with the rich? Amen. See, the Jews intended for him to have a disgraceful burial. Amen. After they crucified him, they wanted him to have a disgraceful burial with those thieves. Amen. But Joseph of Arimathea secretly got with Pilate and said, "Can I have a body? Let me have a body." He was afraid because he knew what them Jews was going to be, what they just did to Jesus, and they would do it to him. So he secretly went to Pilate and said, can you just at least give me the body? And he did, and he put him in a tomb as if he was rich. Amen. That's what the scripture is saying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus was the perfect lamb sacrifice, saints. He took away the sin of the whole world. Amen. Verse 11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It says we should justify many. Amen. But why don't it say all? He satisfied the whole sin debt, right? But it said he should justify many. Why isn't it to say all, saints? Because all are not, don't believe it. All are not walking by faith. Huh? He's going to justify many, but not all, because everybody's not walking by faith. It says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. He's our intercessor. Amen. This he bare the sin of many, not all saints. The ones who. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read to you all real quick, John chapter 1 and verse 12, because I want you all to see who the many are. It tells us who the many are. It says in verse 12, but as many as what, saints? Received him. That's the many. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe what? On his name. That's the many. Amen. So I ended up there coming from which he had promised afore by his prophets. I just wanted you all to hear what his prophet Isaiah was saying way back afore. The scripture says afore. He was saying that afore, way back when. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'm going to finish up in Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the son of God with what, saints? Nope. Verse 4, with power, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. Amen. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to them, Romans, isn't he? This is Paul talking to them. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What do he want to be spoken of? They life. That's not what it said. What does it say? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Huh? You want your faith to be spoken throughout the world. You want it to, you want your faith to be so increased, so high. Because it's a scripture that says that he wants to pour you out a blessing so large, you won't have the faith enough to receive it. I want to have the faith. I want to get that blessing, and I want to receive that. Amen. You want your faith to be up there. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That's my goal, saints, and that was his goal. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me. See, we comforted together in that mutual faith. Amen. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Verse 14 says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, come on, saints, and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Amen. He said, I'm coming to Rome. I'm going to bring it to you all. He got all this high-end truth. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what, saints? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that, it's only working for the one that believeth, though. It's the power of God unto salvation to the people that believe it. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what, saints? Faith to faith, as it is written. Y'all say it. The just has to live by faith. If you want that just life, that fair life, that righteous life, that prosperous life, your real life is in faith. You're going to grab it by faith. Amen. You got to believe all these promises, and some of them are unbelievable. And the things he speaks to you normally. You got to believe it. You got to trust God. Amen. He's going to tell you to do some things, and it's not going to be in your strength. Once that word gets confirmed, well, how do I know it's God telling me? He'll confirm his word. He'll tell you, and then you'll call somebody up on the phone, and they'll be, well, you know what? I think you should da-da-da-da-da. Wow, the Lord just told me that this morning in my early morning prayer. Then you'll talk to somebody else, and then you'll come into the house of God and hear it again. Now you know, oh, I got to get that done. I got to move on that. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for your word today. I just want to give you all a quick bonus. Y'all want a bonus? Y'all want to turn up? Some of y'all like turning up. Amen. Y'all want to turn up? Let's turn up on this scripture right here. It's found in 2 Peter 1. Here go a bonus for y'all. Because, you know, it takes me a whole week to see y'all, so I got to bless you real good. Amen. We don't see each other every day. Amen. So I just want to be a blessing. God bless me to be a blessing. He ain't blessing me to say, are you blessed, Rudy? Go on and live your blessed life. Nope. He blessed me to bless you. I want to be a blessing to you. Amen. So we're going to turn up on 2 Peter chapter 1. Look what this say, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Simon Peter, what was he? Another servant, amen, and an apostle, amen. So to them that have obtained like precious faith, what did he call faith? Precious. Amen. Okay, I got to see this. Amen. Look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. So we were called through the knowledge of him to glory and virtue, right? The most important thing we got is what? Faith. Amen? Our faith. So are we on this today? Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. See, all that corruption is in the world comes from the lust of the flesh. Amen. That's where it comes from. Amen. That's why we got to kill it. Okay, let me give you these keys. Look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Uh-oh. He said, faith is cool. We need that. It's a necessity, right? But he said, beside that, amen, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Don't have to be kind to each other. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. Amen. He said, add that to your faith. Y'all said y'all wanted to turn up. I heard y'all say, yeah. This is how you turn up. Amen. You want to turn up? This is how you do it. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord.